Follow.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lateman. Family members say a baby born after her pregnant mother was murdered has now died. The baby girl survived but died on Sunday, according to a report on First Coast News. There have been no arrests for the death of 19-year-old Ivana McGraw, who was shot inside an apartment in Arlington October 7th. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is investigating. 19 people are facing drug charges in Baker County after a major drug bust. It was called Operation Happy New Year, and it went down over several days this week after a month-long investigation. Deputies say 12 people were taken in, while the other seven are still at large. If you have any information about them, you can contact the Baker County Sheriff's Office. Video circulating on social media have caught the attention of the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Investigators want to know if the image shows some kind of a fight club involving children seen beating each other up. News 4 Jack says those who've seen the videos are worried the fist fights could escalate. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning, Butler Boulevard at San Pablo. Going east, there has been an accident. We're watching the traffic cams, and the cars involved are now all on the right breakdown lane. On I-10 East, headed toward downtown, cars are beginning to slow at around Cassin Avenue this morning. And 295 North at Phillips Highway, we're looking at traffic building there as well. Mainly cloudy today, 83 the high. This evening cloudy, 63 below. Right now it's 60 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The local state attorney's office says the JEA investigation will now be referred to the feds. The Democratic presidential debate seems to be getting heated between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And many Clay and Duval County teachers joined thousands marching on the Florida Capitol demanding more money for teacher pay.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
4 minutes after 7 a.m., good to have everybody here. We are broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida this week. It is the first week of session for the 2020. We're broadcasting live from our business partners that does a lot of coordinating with this station and this company, the Sachs Media Group, and the Florida Attorney General, Ashley Moody, today. Now, we're going to be broadcasting, Roger, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I'll be back live in the studios Friday morning because I do miss everybody, but at least for today, the Attorney General, Ashley Moody, is going to join us in a little bit. We got a lot of guests lined up for you this hour and the next hour. Hey, Roger, do we sound okay? Do I need to back up, move forward? How are we sounding?
Sound pretty good to me. No complaints. Yeah, everything sounds great.
How do I look?
You look marvelous. I would imagine.
831-0600, 831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB. All right, again, Ed Dean broadcasting from Tallahassee, Florida. Let's get to some of the national issues as well. You know, Roger, we are now a little bit more than a month away, I guess, from the Iowa caucus, and I agree with you. I still think Joe Biden has a great chance of becoming the nomination or winning the nomination, but, of course, the big debate now is between two super liberals, between ODB, Old Dirty Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. And, again, who can be more liberal here? Let's play clip number 12, Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All. She can't really explain it. Clip number 12.
I will say this. I think as things currently stand, if the elections were held today, I believe the president would be reelected. I think the president needs to be very, very surgical with his tactics here. Republicans remain on his side. Democrats are struggling. If they nominate someone like Elizabeth Warren, you isolate a significant percentage of moderates. You isolate your business Democrats on Wall Street who've already stated, we will not vote for Elizabeth Warren. We'll support Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was clip number. That's still a good one. That was clip number 13. That's where the Wall Street, as you know, Roger, the Wall Street crowd, everybody thinks it's all a bunch of right-wing, wealthy Republicans. As you know, they've supported Obama in 2008, 2012, and Hillary in 2016. And then that came from CNBC right there, where some of the business Democrats may avoid Elizabeth Warren because of her super high tax proposals.
Okay. Well, yeah. Wow, that's... That's interesting how this thing is going to end up panning out, I think.
Right. Here's clip number 12.
Okay, let me see if I can locate it.
This is Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All. Yeah, she can't explain it.
Working through some of the technos. Here we go.
Donald Trump will tell you
that he is responsible for the relative.
That's not Elizabeth Warren. That's Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Well, guess
anyway.
What?
Okay, we're having some issues here. I'm sorry.
Are we having issues? All right. Anyway, so this is between Bernie. Let me know when that's ready to go. So Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Look at the numbering list I gave you.
I'm looking at the list you gave me. It's clip number 12.
Huh.
So.
Okay.
Which ones are coming out on your end?
12 is missing. Let me look again. Okay.
All right. Well, play Bernie Sanders. Play that clip right there.
Okay. And I'll do another check. Okay.
Donald Trump will tell you that he is responsible for the relatively low unemployment, which we currently experience. Well, guess what? In 2010, at the heart of the Wall Street crash, unemployment in America was 10%. You remember that?
Yep.
By the time Obama left office, it was 4.5%. Okay? So it's gone down. And in the last 2.5 years under Trump, it has gone down again. Where are we at? 3.5% now?
So there you go, Bernie Sanders giving Obama the credit, not President Trump, for the current economic situations. Hey, Roger,
I've got 12 now, by the way.
All right, go ahead and play clip number 12 with Elizabeth
Medicare
Warren.
For all before. You keep being asked in the debates, how are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
Right.
How are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
So here's how we're going to do this. Costs are going to go up. For the wealthiest Americans, for big corporations.
Taxes, was it what you mean by cost?
Yeah. Okay. And hardworking middle class families are going to see their costs go down.
But will their taxes go up?
Well, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I've listened to these answers a few times before, and I just wanna make a parallel suggestion for you about how you might defend the taxes that perhaps you're not mentioning in your sentence. Isn't Medicare for all like public school?
So, you know, actually,
there might be taxes for it, but you certainly save a lot of money on sending your kids to school. And do you want to live in a world where kids aren't educated? Do you want to live in a world where your fellow citizens are dying, even if it costs a little bit of money?
Okay, she can't answer the whole question. So as you can tell with her Medicare for all nonsense. Hey, Roger, let's go with clip number 5. The Attorney General Bill Barr says that the Pensacola shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station here in Florida that took place last month was an act of terror. Clip number 5.
On December 6th, Second Lieutenant Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani, a member of the Royal Saudi Air Force, entered a building on grounds of the Pensacola Naval Air Station and killed 3 U.S. sailors and severely wounded 8 other Americans. He was killed during the attack. This was an act of terrorism. The evidence shows that the shooter was motivated by jihadist ideology. During the course of the investigation, we learned that the shooter posted a message on September 11th of this year stating the countdown has begun. He also posted other anti-American, anti-Israeli, and jihadi messages on social media, including 2 hours before his attack.
Hey, Roger, he was also able to get this gun. Roger, is there another, it says clip number 5A,
yeah.
The Pensacola shooter. Listen to how the terrorist bought the gun. Play that clip.
Now to the Saudi man who killed 3 people at the Pensacola Naval Base, purchased his gun legally because he had a Florida hunting license. This loophole, the information coming from the FBI today. Investigators also saying the shooter posted a will of sorts to Twitter shortly before the attack in which he criticized U.S. policies in Muslim countries. And breaking news now from the Associated Press, the Navy says flight training suspended for about 175 Saudi Arabian students in the wake of that Florida-based shooting.
With that hunting license, the shooter bought the gun that he used to kill 3 people and injure 8 more nearly 5 months ago. This Governor Ron DeSantis expressed frustration with that loophole, saying the Second Amendment applies so Americans can bear arms, not
Saudi
Arabians.
All right, Roger, go and cut that clip out.
The National Shooting Sports Foundation, which represents
some hunting loophole, but here, let's go with clip number 3. Here we go. David Spun from Fox News says that 21 Saudi service members have been kicked out from some of their tweets and posts about pro-terrorist activity. Play that clip.
Attorney General Bill Barr came right out of the gate and used the word terrorism. It's the first time he's used that word when talking specifically about this horrific attack that happened last month. Barr revealing new details about that attack by a 21-year-old Royal Saudi Air Force member training in the United States, stationed at Naval Air Base Pensacola. U.S. kicking out 21 Saudi service members, students in the United States, not because they were involved in this Pensacola attack, but because they've been involved with extremist groups online. 15 of them were in possession of child pornography, but the Attorney General says not enough to charge them in the United States. They will face their punishment in Saudi Arabia.
Wow. It's quite interesting to see where
it,
that
it
goes.
Makes you think, and you know, what's probably, you know, a lot less inviting, you know, facing the U.S. justice system or the Saudi justice system, which tends to be a lot more harsh when it comes to these types of things.
Rogers, you know, again, we're broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group here in Tallahassee, Florida. The Florida Senate panel, a Republican-run Florida Senate panel, is now backing more gun control measure. The NRA here in the state of Florida is ticked off. They say that this somehow, by closing a, quote, gun show loophole, this is not the way to go. This was voted unanimously this past week that would create a record-keeping system as well for private gun sales and set aside $5 million to establish a statewide strategy for violence prevention. Oh, man, where's this story going? Let's go, Roger. Let's go with clip number 9 on this issue.
Republican state senator is looking to build bipartisan support for legislation that would enhance the Florida firearm background check.
This year, the Senate president tasked a committee with formulating a response to the Dayton and El Paso mass shootings. Lee, a Republican, seems to be listening. He says public response has been positive.
The NRA, a powerful force here in the Florida legislature, has long held the position that enforcing current laws would be more effective than passing new ones.
Exactly what Lee might propose is unclear at this time.
For Floridians.
Lee says whatever the final product, bipartisan support will be critical.
Now, Roger, again, this is the Florida Senate Republicans passing more gun control. Here it is. The sweeping legislation being proposed would require background checks, a 3-day waiting period for firearms sold on property to which the public has the right of access, such as a flea market, a gun show, and or a firearm exhibit. It would also, for individuals who sell guns to other people, Roger, would have to be required to fill out a form that would include the name, date, birth certificate, and identification of the purchaser. Roger, this is a gun registry.
It would seem like it. Certainly a database that's being maintained, and if the Republicans are the ones who are bringing this forth and making it law, there are a lot of gun owners who are thinking, who do we have to turn to now? You know,
this is incredible. But Roger, you would expect this from the Democrats,
exactly,
not from Florida Republicans.
Yeah, that was my point. And I know a lot of gun owners. I know there are people who make the argument, if you have a car, you have to have that registered. A gun, you know, why not have a gun registered? But there are a lot of gun owners who are very concerned if a national database, or at least a statewide database in this case, is being maintained with who has a gun, where they live, and what kind of gun they own.
Coming up later in the show, the Attorney General is going to be live in the studios with us, the Florida AG, Ashley Moody. So we're going to be asking her a lot of questions, and we got the NFIB coming in. We're broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. More as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
Good morning. If you're at Butler Boulevard going east at San Pablo, there's an accident there, and we're counting at least 3 cars involved now, all on the right shoulder. And if you're at I-10 going east, headed toward downtown, backup starts at I-10.
The Everglades, previously stretching from Kissimmee to the Florida Keys, home to thousands of species of plants and animals, and an ecosystem found nowhere else on Earth, is half its original size and starved of water. To learn more and to help restore America's Everglades, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
How would you describe your healthcare? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. Hundreds of thousands of believers across America who share each other's medical bills. For over 25 years, they've trusted in the MediShare model because it works. You'll be amazed at what you'll save, up to $500 every month. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, You never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I'm a graduate of the City Rescue Mission Life Builders Program. I have been homeless for quite a while and heavily addicted to drugs. I've been getting high since I was 13 years old, and this is the first time I've ever been sober in my life. I was sitting at the bus station across from State Street, and I seen a couple of guys walking around that were real healthy, and they seemed like they had a glow about them. And it was just something that kept telling me it's time. Till finally, I gave in and I prayed. It just seemed like a weight had got lifted up off my shoulder. Well, since I've graduated, my life has been transformed. I now have a very healthy and loving relationship with a beautiful woman. I have a very good job that is my passion, and I'm able to do it with a straight mind.
I'm Penny Keevit, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org. To learn more about how you could transform a life like Jason's this Christmas and make a donation that will provide hope for the hurting this holiday season.
I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is what you missed on America First. Bloomberg is going to announce that he's running for president. That is an utter and complete indictment of the whole struggle bus. A man who really has the charisma of an old shoe that your dog has chewed over the years. He's getting into the race. What does that mean? It means that they're in trouble.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB.
Mainly cloudy today. 83 degrees will be the high, and this evening will be cloudy with an overnight low of 63. 60 right now at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Democratic presidential debate seems to be getting heated between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The Democratic presidential debate will be held soon in Iowa. By the way, many Clay and Duval County teachers joined thousands marching at the Florida Capitol demanding more money for teacher pay. And a Florida Senate panel backed some gun control measures as the National Rifle Association objects.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
19 minutes after 7 a.m. Roger, we still sounding good on the air?
You sound great, man.
Hey, we do all this ad lib. We're broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson's back in the studios. We're broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group. State Representative Kerry Pigman, House District 55. It's Highlands, Okeechobee. Oh, man, we're talking off the air. You and I are both, I mean, we're outdoorsmen. I mean, I like to bike ride. I have to exercise every day walking. I prefer it without a lot of the city climate out there. St. Lucie County's and some of the best bass fishing you represent.
Lake Okeechobee is wonderful. It's great fishing. Great bicycling down there, too.
All right. Roger, how is levels? His levels sound good, too?
He sounds pretty good, but maybe a little closer to the mic, but everything sounds good.
There we go. I got his mic turned up. Okay. Their health care is a big issue. We see the poll numbers all around. Tell the audience what type of bill, again, as we're meeting this week, the first week of session, tell us everybody the bill that you're sponsoring and what's going on with consumer choice and all of this.
I tell you what, people talk about reducing the cost of health care, but really you need to get into health care to find out where costs are to reduce. I mean, that makes sense. But for me, it's about access to care. And we have a primary care shortage in Florida. Actually, have a primary care provider shortage across the United States. And my bill, 607, would allow advanced practice registered nurses to practice without supervision after they've gone through a couple years of supervised practice. Because I would submit to you, the current circumstance where they have to be supervised by a physician, especially an experienced advanced practice registered nurse, it takes time and it takes money. And those are two things that if we could remove would allow more patients to be seen, a more efficient use of the nurse practitioner's time, a more efficient use of the physician's time. And we've got 30 other states that allow unsupervised practice, and there's the same outcomes. There's good outcomes. There's no evidence of harm. So what I would submit to you is if there's no harm, let's not spend that money and time.
Representative Pigman, this story for years as a reporter in Florida, it's not a news story, but it's really been under the radar. I know we've done some articles at Florida Daily, and what you've said, the primary shortage has taken place. Is this, as one doctor told me who didn't mind this, he says, we don't need any more babysitters these days. Is that an interesting analysis, or am
I
wrong?
That's exactly correct. If you talk to the doctors in the trenches, which is probably not a right term, boots on ground, whatever term you want to use, we doctors are so busy.
And by the way, you're a physician for the audience.
I'm an emergency medicine physician in Sebring and Lake Placid. We're so busy just seeing the patients that we're trying to see. There's more work to go around than there are people to give it. And what we see is we just need more people involved. We'd like to have more doctors involved, but when we have skilled advanced practice registered nurses, we want them involved too.
What has set this regulation? Is this a more of a hospital recommendation, or is this a government thing going on?
You know, this is in Florida statutes. It's written into the statute that nurse practitioners must be supervised by a physician. It's a historic thing. Many states have evolved away from it for the same reasons I'm seeking, which is to enhance access to primary care. Florida is a little bit laggard in catching up, but this is the seventh year I've ran this bill, and I'm hoping to be successful this year.
Wait. Why? You've got a lot of guys here, Republican run, that would agree with you on this. We're talking about more choice, more care. Why has this bill been stalling then?
Well, it's always passed in the House by overwhelming numbers. It's always stalled in the Senate. And sometimes statewide organizations that represent professionals are a little more interested in protecting scope of practice, a little more interested in turf protection.
Right.
But when you get out to the doctors in the community, they go, look, I'm so busy, it doesn't matter to me. But for that reason, probably, Florida has been slow behind. It has a very active physician group, Florida Medical Association, Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, who oppose this philosophically. And what's ironic sometimes is some of their biggest critics, or some of our biggest critics, are the kinds of medical specialists who would never be impacted by this, who in fact might be beneficially impacted by more primary providers in the community who could refer a person who needs knee surgery, let's say.
We're talking with State Representative Kerry Pigman, who is the District 55. He's out of Highlands, Okeechobee, St. Lucie counties. He's an emergency department physician. You're a doctor. Is it one of these, as you say, there's a turf war, but when you get into the opposition here, is at least, do they present a plausible debate on this, or is it just, again, as you say, it's a turf war?
Well, the arguments provided is that physicians have more formalized training, and there's merit to that. The argument is that it would somehow cheapen being a physician, and there's perhaps merit to that. But in my world, there's so much diabetes, there's so much hypertension that needs basic care. I move beyond that. I've worked with nurse practitioners for decades. I've been a doctor for 37 years now. I've always been with advanced practice professionals, and we've always worked collegially. The notion that I supervise, you know, it would be like me working with a cardiologist. Yeah, I work with the cardiologist. He's the specialist, or she's the specialist in her field, but I don't have to have a signed agreement with that professional. I don't have to pay them a fee. They're not reviewing my charts, because that cardiologist needs to spend their time seeing heart patients. And I think the same example exists with the nurse practitioners.
Representative Pigman, would this lessen the weight? Let's say somebody who's like, I've been a type 2, I'm pre-diabetic. I do a lot of exercising, knowing the metformin, none of that. But if you got to wait for the physician, but you have things where the nurses can help out, would it make your wait time go from, let's say, a week to maybe 2 or 3 days?
That's absolutely the goal. But it's actually more fundamental than that. If we can take better care of the type 2 diabetic early in the course of the illness, when it's relatively not complicated, perhaps we can avoid those complications later, like kidney failure, heart attack, and strokes, which I don't want to sound like I'm a bean counter, but I would much rather spend a little bit of money on the preventative end and early maintenance than pay for the rescue therapy later on. And what primary care does, whether you're a physician in primary care, nurse practitioner in primary care, is try to keep that early diabetic from developing the complications, early hypertensive, early congestive heart failure, early chronic obstructive lung disease. You pick the condition. That early care, I think, is critical. And that's what we miss in America.
Florida State Representative Kerry Pigman represents District 55. He is an emergency physician, actually department physician. He is in the studios with us as we're broadcasting live out of Tallahassee, Florida this morning. We've done it on this radio show, and it really, the emails blow up. We get a lot of calls, but the emails really blow up. Do people realize there is a, well, there's a primary care shortage, a physician shortage, a nursing shortage? I mean, we've talked about this. How bad is it now compared to how bad it may get a few years down the road?
Right. Well, the demographics are such that it's only going to get more of a problem. Two things. We're having an increasing population, which is wonderful. We're having an aging population, which is also wonderful. If everyone died at age 50, we wouldn't have an access to healthcare problem. So the demographics are such that we're going to have an increasing need. Right now, we've got 32,000 nurse practitioners in Florida who are relatively constrained. If we could just modernize our attitude towards advanced practice registered nurses by allowing independent practice once they qualify for it, not only do we free up the time of the 32,000.
You're talking about deregulating a little bit. That's
Yes, I am, which is within good. My credo as
yes.
a Republican.
I know.
In addition, we become an attractive state for nurse practitioners to migrate into, just like we're an attractive state for other professions to
but
migrate into.
The shortage is coming from the amount of people coming onto the system, not because, or is it because nurses, do they feel like they're being underpaid, or they just feel like a lot of times they're being handcuffed with some of the regulations which you're trying to deregulate?
It's really the latter, handcuffed. Okay. It is the time spent doing the documentation necessary to be supervised. And let's be frank, many of these nurse practitioners spend several thousand dollars a month for a physician to be their supervisor who never sees any of their patients.
Incredible.
Never looks at their records. It is a statutory requirement. And that's when I take off my doctor's hat and put on my politician's hat from my 55th district and my club card for Republicanism, that is what is anathema to me. That charge, that fee, that cost driver in the system, which does not give any benefit downstream. And you know, all costs in any processes are ultimately passed on to the consumer. And in
Correct.
This case, the consumer, you know, to the extent that we pay 41% of Medicaid, is coming out taxpayers of the state of Florida.
Have we had any idea where the governor's on this?
He's made a couple comments. I've not had a frank discussion
okay.
with him. I think we have a ways to go to convince the president of the Senate and the governor to come on board.
You want to, as we all know for years as a journalist, you want the whole, as they say, enchilada. What do you think, with less than about 30 seconds left, where do you think this, at least measures of this bill, do you think can at least be passed?
I believe it can. I think I'm optimistic for this year. Speaker Oliva has been a powerful advocate for us. We have his weight behind us. We have the nurse practitioners behind us. We're pushing hard.
It's good to see you, man. We've covered you for years. Again, State Representative Kerry Pigman, District 55. Good to have you on today.
Come on down Okeechobee.
I'm going to go do some bass fishing down there. You hold on. The Attorney General, Ashley Moody, is going to join us here in just a little bit. Ed Dean broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida, along with Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Arrests have been made in Iran after last week's accidental downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane that killed all 176 people on board. Iran's judiciary says the arrests came after extensive investigations. Britain, France, and Germany have launched action under the Iran nuclear agreement, paving the way for possible sanctions in response to Tehran's attempts to roll back parts of that deal. On Capitol Hill later today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democrats are expected to meet and start taking action to send articles of impeachment to the Senate for a trial of President Trump. A volcano near the Philippine capital is spewing lava and ash into the sky today. The activity has forced government and school closures, as well as the cancellation and delay of hundreds of flights. This is SRN News.
Here is some great
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lederman. The feds are now involved in an investigation into JEA's efforts to sell to a private company. State Attorney Melissa Nelson says the federal officials will look at how the city-owned utility took bids in a closed-door meeting, an action that some city leaders believe may have violated open government laws and potentially benefited JEA executives. CEO Aaron Zahn is on paid leave while the case plays out. If you watch TV with an antenna, you'll probably have to get out the owner's manual later this week. The FCC is forcing thousands of local stations, including Channel 4, WJXT in Jacksonville, to change their broadcast channel, so viewers will have to make an adjustment to continue watching over the air. It's called a rescan, and while it isn't hard, it may be something you haven't done in a while. Affected stations will make the switch Thursday, which the FCC is calling Rescan Day. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. If you're at I-95 going south, State Road 200, a crash there is causing some delay as you head out this morning. I-95 North, at 8th Street, traffic's building. And 10 East at Lane Avenue, traffic is slowing down. Mainly cloudy today and a high of 83. This evening will be cloudy with a low of 63. And right now it's 60 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Many Clay and Duval County school teachers joined thousands marching at the Florida Capitol demanding more money for teacher pay. A Florida Senate panel backed some gun control measures as the National Rifle Association objects. And the U.S. Attorney General says the shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in December was an act of terrorism.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, it's Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. We're broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group in Tallahassee, Florida this week, first week of session. A lot of issues going on. I mean, yes, it's the typical gun issue, the environment. But one of the big issues, Roger, you know, you and I cover a lot on this radio show. When you look at the poll numbers, it doesn't matter what your affiliation may be, Roger. As you know, healthcare is a top-tier issue. Here in the studios with us, Vernon Langford is the president of the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners out there. I want to talk about Medicare for All, Medicaid expansion, but this nurse practitioner, you know, we had just had on State Representative Corey Pigman on this issue. When you talk about a nursing shortage, a doctor shortage, I got to tell you something. This doesn't seem to be covered by a lot of the media. Am I wrong or right on that? Give me the lowdown on this. Put the mic up there, Carrie. Put it up. There you go. I'm sorry, Vernon.
For Florida.
Put it right up to the mouth. Go ahead.
Like much of the South, has an extreme healthcare professional shortage. No matter where you live in the state, all 67 counties are designated as federal healthcare professional shortage areas.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if you live in the rural area or not, you don't have access to healthcare. And we've had historically a lot of providers not going to rural areas because of a lot of barriers that exist. And a lot of those are financial barriers for oversight and also for things like Medicaid. If you're not getting adequate reimbursement for Medicaid, there isn't a financial incentive for you to see those patients. But if you want to increase access to healthcare, but still provide cost-effective care, that's where advanced practice providers like myself come in. We're not physician replacements. We're not attempting to be. We stay within our scope and we enjoy being nurse practitioners. But as access to healthcare improves, so does that rising tide that lifts all boats. If you help healthcare for the least of us, the Medicaid population, it improves the general healthcare outlook for the entire state.
You know, Vernon, I, as an economics reporter for years, I look at the marketplace, and you just pointed out something that there is a lack of health care in many of the rural areas. I'm from Florida. We call them the redneck counties. I can say that. But the rural areas, and yet when you look at the proposal by Democrats of Medicare for All, or even with Obamacare, Medicaid expansion, included in that is to put, by the way, the government sets the rates, the prices. Mm-hmm. I keep telling everybody that you, and you employ other people as well, Vernon, you have to make a profit at least, yes, to stay in the business. And my question to you, that if they come after your back pocket and you employ other people, you got to put the, if you can't put the cost on the consumer, which nobody wants to do, I have to assume you put it onto your employees.
Yes. You eat the cost one way or another. And whether it's Medicaid expansion or Medicare for All, we're not addressing the, okay, if everyone gets health care, who cares for them? If there's a shortage currently, now overnight all Floridians have access to health care. You don't overnight create more healthcare providers. Your backlog is going to be substantial. It's tough to find providers, especially specialists in rural counties, where you have to travel an hour or two to see a dermatologist. So if you don't have transportation and there's no one in that area to provide that care, what could be something that's easily preventable before it gets very bad now becomes something that's late stage simply because you weren't in a place with access to care.
Vernon Langford is the president of the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners. We've covered this at floridadaily.com. Nurse practitioner shortage, doctor shortage out there. Is it because of too much government involved? Is it because through attrition, people retiring, or is there more people getting on the system? You guys come in and say, listen, we need to pass more measures where we give more health care choice. Explain more of that to the audience.
Our population, not just in Florida, but nationwide, are getting older and they're getting sicker. So no matter what you do to combat that, you have more complex cases in the primary care setting, which has led to the compartmentalization of healthcare. If you have a heart problem, you see a heart specialist.
Right.
Now, what we're seeing now is as we have more people seeking out that care, as the baby boomers are seeking care from multiple offices, it gets very hard to provide that care because we are not churning out physicians and APRNs at the same number at which the population is growing. So we will have a shortage, but what you're doing is you're really tying the hands of professionals who are trained and educated to deal with that purpose. Most nurse practitioners, for example, exist in the primary care space, which we're having fewer and fewer physicians choose that as their specialty going forward. So if we're not creating enough physicians to provide for primary care,
this is where you guys come in.
We have this option here where you have people who are trained in that to provide that high quality, cost effective care. We're the obvious solution here.
Vernon, it sounds like a boss who hires you to do the job and the boss just wants to micromanage everything, knowing that he doesn't need to micromanage you to do the job. Is that pretty much what it is in many cases?
Yes. Yes. We've been seeking for many years to modernize Floridian healthcare. And the trouble that we run into is often that trying to get statutes changed is very difficult because the argument is, well, it has always been this way.
Right.
Why must we change it? Because as times change, healthcare today is not healthcare of 20 years ago.
Correct.
So if you have statutes today that existed 20 years ago, they won't be applicable. We're asking to expand scope of practice. We're not asking to become physicians. We're not asking to do things that we're not trained and educated and board certified nationally to do. What we want to do is be able to provide care for the Floridians that need it. And also, as was mentioned previously, increase access to care, drive down the cost of care, increase jobs for the state, increase economic output and impact for the state. And all of those can be done by passing legislation to modernize Floridian healthcare.
Vernon Langford, we are talking with, is the president of the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners. Vernon, give me some analysis. Is it, and again, what you've covered, this being in the healthcare industry, are we going to be revisiting whether the views of some people of the Medicaid expansion or not? In some states are kicking this issue back up again. It's like, you know, Obamacare, whatever. Do you think this issue is going to come back up again down in the next few years in Florida? Is it years down the road or in the next few years? What do you think?
I feel in the next few years, we're in a crisis point. We're in a point where as we expand Medicaid, if we make that choice, or if there is a legitimate Medicare for all, you're going to have a massive explosion of patients looking for healthcare and absolutely nowhere to find it because most offices are horribly backlogged. So if you aren't getting ahead of that curve, you're going to sell a bill of goods you won't be able to fulfill. So it doesn't matter if everyone has insurance. We found this out, unfortunately, previously with Obamacare. If you have insurance, but you can't afford to use it and you have no providers that take it,
or you can't afford the deductible, yeah.
And you can't afford the deductible, you're not going to get healthcare. So you're penalized because you must have it. However, you don't have providers who are able to care for it. I provide house calls, and I cover
really?
All 67 counties of Florida. So this coming week, I'll be in the Panhandle in the Panama City area. That is an area that after Hurricane Michael is in desperate yes. need of healthcare providers. And unfortunately, after the hurricane, a lot of their providers left.
Is it fair to say with all the government intrusion, whether people's view or not, on the Obamacare or whatever, this has kind of created a marketplace that it's like we're going back to old school. I mean, who still visits people at their houses?
We have to find ways to fix the problem. And for house calls, that has made it more convenient because now I cover a county for the week and I will see tons of people who might not have seen a primary care provider for the last 3 years simply because they live in an area with limited coverage. They have no transportation. And if you can't get to the healthcare, you won't receive that health care, unfortunately.
Man, I'm enjoying this. Vernon Langford is the president of the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners. Let me because I want to have you on again, so I'm not going to knock everything out in this interview, but we've heard the discussion, the Republicans don't like Obamacare, but they still never come up with a plan. So, and I'm more of a free market guy, but hey, I got to call it the way it is. The days of Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they can't get their numbers together. The numbers don't add up. Obamacare's numbers never added up. Having said this, are we going down the road of a Medicare for all? Yes or no in the next 5, 10, or is it going to be incrementally done? You cover this a lot. What do you think?
Practically, it is very tough to see a Medicare for all plan that would be implemented overnight. The logistics just aren't there.
Correct.
Even if it's a great idea to give everyone health care, that is something that you have to expand the scope of practice. You have to modernize the laws because it isn't just a matter of insuring everyone. Amazing though that would be. You have to have care provided for them.
You want to take some calls?
Absolutely.
All right, man. 831-0600. Who you want to go with, Roger?
Okay, Mike's been holding on line one. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling into the Ed Dean Show.
Yeah, hi. So here's my issue. My wife is an RN, went to FAU in the 1980s. They had about 80 students a year through that nursing program. My daughter is a senior. She's applying for nursing positions or colleges. The number of applicants that they accept now is 100. So the growth in the state from the 80s to today, FSU only has 150 slots open every year. The capacity of the Florida schools to train nurses is not kept up with the population growth.
That's a great point. Go ahead and answer that.
And that is something that's statewide. The trouble that you run into often with educational programs is you have to have providers to train them. There are not enough clinical spots, and we see that also with physicians in addition to nurses. You have to have willing teachers. And if you're not expanding the scope of practitioners, if you're not allowing, if you're not deregulating modernizing healthcare, regulation, although well-intentioned, oftentimes is very difficult to deal with practical problems, like making it so more nurses can get into the market.
I got to give you a couple more minutes. Roger, you want to squeeze in a couple more calls?
Okay, Jeff's holding on line, too. He's got a question as well. Hey, Jeff.
All right, let's go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Jeff, are you there? Jeff, Jeff, I think we lost Jeff.
All right, so we got the phones are lighting up this morning. I was going to have you on for a couple minutes, so I was going to take some calls. All right, where can people find you on Twitter or where?
Yep. My name is Vernon Langford. You can find me across the board at APRN Vernon on Twitter, but also FloridiansUniteForHealthcare.com. This is a nonpartisan site where we're looking to modernize healthcare, and that is FloridiansUniteForHealthcare.com.
Vernon Langford, president of the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. 44 minutes after 7 a.m., this is Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 north at 8th Street. Traffic's building there this morning. If you're at I-95 going south, State Road 200, an early morning wreck is causing some backup. And 295 north before Butler Boulevard, we're seeing delays there as well.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you.
If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
I'm Lou Dobbs. The budget deficit up nearly 12%. Stunning penalties for Houston Astros management and the new Consumer Price Index out today. Those stories are next. Let's talk about your 401k for a moment. If it's in the stock market, it's not necessarily safe. Remember the great financial crisis of 2008? Lou Dobbs here. Take a look at what the folks at Goldco have to say about protecting your 401k or IRA by adding physical gold and silver to it. Now, I'm not saying the world will end if you don't buy gold or silver, but I will tell you it's just common sense to diversify your retirement portfolio. Yes, the markets have been up and a lot of 401ks are doing very well, but the bubble could burst any day. Take steps now to keep your money safe. Get a free gold IRA kit from Goldco by visiting goldirakit.com and filling out a simple form. There's no obligation. The folks at Goldco are trusted by major third-party consumer protection agencies, including TrustLink, the Better Business Bureau, TrustPilot, and more. Visit goldirakit.com or call them at 855-815-GOLD today. The U.S. Treasury reports the deficit through the first 3 months of the budget year up almost 12% from the same period a year ago. Massive congressional spending outpacing revenue from taxes this year. The Houston Astros team manager and general manager both fired. This after Major League Baseball suspended them for a year for using technology to relay catcher signs to their batters. The scheme had Astro players alerting hitters of incoming off-speed pitches by banging on trash cans in the Houston dugout. The cheating also cost Houston its next first and second round draft picks. Ahead today, the Labor Department reports December's Consumer Price Index, and J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup report their fourth quarter earnings. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Congratulations to Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island for winning the Best of Clay top spot in the health food category. Grassroots Natural Market, providing families in Clay County with the finest selection of fresh, nutritious foods available. Foods that are free from pesticides, hormones, and artificial preservatives. Grassroots offers a wide variety of gluten-free and wheat-free items, as well as a large selection of vitamins, herbs, and CBD oils. Grassroots Natural Market. They're on the East West Parkway next to the Fleming Island Theater. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
There's a lot of football and basketball ahead, so let Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant has almost a dozen flavors of wings. Specials like 100 jumbo shrimp for just $34.99, plus the original Kronos Euros, oysters, shrimp, and more. The new classic chicken sandwich is just $3.99. Discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, on Facebook at Z-Best The Original. Happy New Year from Z the Founder.
Do you want to offer insurance to your employees but think it's too expensive? Florida Care Insurance is here to tell you that employee benefits can be much more affordable than you realize. If you can afford to give your employee a $2 raise, then you can afford employee benefits that will make you more competitive and help acquire and maintain quality employees. Let us help you invest in your company. Go to groupbenefits.solutions or call 265-4753. No matter the company size, they can help. Call 265-4753. For your employee benefit solution.
Lots of clouds today, only a little bit of sun. Our high will be 83. This evening, lots of clouds and a low of 63. Right now, 60 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The U.S. Attorney General says the shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in December was an act of terrorism. The local state attorney's office says the JEA investigation has now been referred to the feds. And the Democratic presidential debate seems to be getting heated between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB.
by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
50 minutes after 7 a.m., we're broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group out of Tallahassee, Florida. Ed Dean, right here on Talk Radio, WBOB, one of my close friends. He was one of my big speakers at our big Christmas party. He's also a big deal in Tallahassee. He is the Florida Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Business, Bill Hurley. Okay, Bill, set the record straight. The economy is doing well. Who gets the credit? Former President Obama or President Trump?
Small business owners will take the credit.
I knew that.
Thank you very much. Our small business economic trends is still setting 40-year record highs. Employment at is an all-time high. And frankly, my members' biggest challenge is filling the orders. They're walking in the door. They're having labor issues. They can't hire people fast enough, keep them on, get the products going out to their customers.
Right.
So the Florida economy is still red hot by our measure. Don't need to give credit to any president for that.
Then let me ask you this. The governor's come out, and I like his more of deregulation. You know, I mean, okay, you're going to have so many hours for a hairstylist and all this kind of stuff. This has been a topic that seems to be picking up a lot of traction over the last couple of years. And this is not a put down on the governor. Other representatives are talking about this. To me, this is like tax day. When tax day comes around, we all talk about a flat tax, sales tax, and then no one talks about it for the rest of the year. Is there something that's going to – I know you guys love the deregulation aspect. Is this going anywhere this year?
Sure. It'll probably go a little farther than it has in the past, all right? And deregulation is a thorny issue. NFIB stands for deregulation. But there's only so much the state can do. So many regulations come at the local level, and they're getting more aggressive and more active. So some of the more effective things that the state can do is preemption. The state is the sovereign. The state did create our local governments, and they have the authority to tell local governments what commerce they can regulate and that which they cannot.
Well, that's a big debate, as some people look at. Bill Hurley is the executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business here in Florida. You got a big presence, especially in Northeast Florida, Jacksonville, where we broadcast every morning, and all those counties out there as well. I mean, there's so many people. When I meet with people that advertise for this show and clients, there's that NFIB label, a sticker, and right there on there next to their business license. You have been advocating, and this is a big issue with you guys, and I think when you talk to people, it's one of those under-the-radar issues, but when you bring it up, tort reform, people start raising eyebrows going, hey, I'm starting to wake up to at least hearing this conversation. What are we looking at? Anything coming on this year that you guys may be championing or at least addressing?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Ed, I'm no rookie in this business. I've been around for a long time, but if you let go of your optimism, you're done. I am optimistic about tort reform in this state this year. We're seeing a lot of activity from the House, and we're seeing great interest from the Senate, which is usually an obstacle.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we haven't seen a governor come out for tort reform since Jeb Bush. That'll make all the difference in the world. I'm not speaking for the governor,
right?
But he is shown some interest in tort reform, and that could be the difference that puts us over the top.
Give me one or two specifically you would hope gets a lot of attention this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, NFIB is taking a close look at a nefarious practice we call lawsuit lending. This is a practice where an invisible third party comes in and buys the rights, essentially, to a lawsuit before it's gone to court. And they pay off the plaintiff, so the plaintiff is cured, and they're happy. But they take the proceeds of the lawsuit if they win. And it's an invisible practice to the defendant, to the judge, and to the jury. We have straw men sitting in court and other people profiting from some of these lawsuits. And so we're going to shine a bright light on that this issue.
That was my next question. Are you looking to eliminate it or just get more transparency?
Well, we'd love to eliminate it, but our first step is to shine some bright sunlight on it. You know, the House Civil Justice Committee held a two-hour workshop in this issue, and their investigation into it could result in a proposed committee bill coming out soon. And we'll see how aggressive they want to be in ending this practice that we think is an aberration of the justice system.
One of my favorites, Bill Hurley, and I say that because I can have preferential treatment here. Bill Hurley is the executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business here in the state of Florida. He comes over to Jacksonville a lot in our neck of the woods as we're broadcasting live from Tallahassee. You've really championed this issue. You think there's a good chance of getting that area of tort reform. Give me another issue that you would like to see focused on that maybe we in the media don't cover it a lot. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to small business and or deregulation.
We have something that's just for home-based businesses out there this year. And we were talking about preemption a little right. bit ago. This is a bill that would preempt local governments from regulating people from opening a home-based business in their home. Now, we're going to exempt out homeowners associations. We're going to exempt out policing powers and traffic laws and things right. like that. But I tell you, think of the list of businesses that started in a garage.
Sure.
Apple, Dell, Amazon. Where is the next one sitting in Florida in a garage somewhere? Let me tell you, they're out there. And we have a lot of local governments now that are putting in regulations that prohibit people.
Give me an example. Just a generic example for the audience out there.
Oh, well, in the city of Gainesville, they prohibit anyone from using their garage to operate a home-based business. They can use their home, but they can use a garage.
Are you kidding me?
Well, let me tell you, the first Apple computer was built in a garage. And we don't want to stifle that entrepreneurial spirit in the state. So we've got a bill that will simply say the state says that local governments can't pass ordinances that prohibit someone from operating.
Bill, let me ask you a duh question. You mean if you have a cousin, a wife, man, family, whatever, wants to do embroidery business or they want to fix some carpeting, garage door closed, technically in some of these cities they can't do it out of the garage?
No, they can't.
And
there are other sorts of ordinances that inhibit the ability to operate a business. Now, we still want community standards. If someone wants to live in a community that has a homeowners association with a vigorous covenant that says absolutely not, you signed up to live in that community, go ahead and live in that
right.
community. But other than where a neighborhood is self-governed through an HOA, we don't think local government should be impeding the right for someone to start a business.
Bill, I've heard stories in many cities in Florida where if you owned, let's say you owned the company, very successful, everybody knows who you are, but in some, not HOA, but in some cities, you can't have your small truck on that because it's a business owned, or even if your garage, I'm being stupid here, but it's true, your garage couldn't close all the way down because your truck was coming. Oh my word, let's put you on regulations. I heard something like that, but I've never heard where some cities, I'm talking in the privacy of your home in the garage, they don't want you doing any type of home-based business. Mm-hmm. What is their backing for that?
Local standards, but we're saying a statewide standard needs to be, we're not going to stifle entrepreneurship. Here's another reason it's so important. It's not just important for the businesses that start with just the germination of a small idea. During the recession, I can give you a long list of businesses across this state
yes.
that retreated to their homes because they had to reduce expenses.
Yeah.
And they had to basically start over again until they got through the recession. They got going again, and then they were able to go back out to a bricks and mortar business. It's a critical backstop. Right. to keep entrepreneurship alive in this state.
Bill Hurley, he is executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business here in the state of Florida. Bill, I always love having you come on, especially live with us, man. Good to see you this morning.
Hey, welcome to Tallahassee. Good
All
to
right.
see you.
Yeah, I can't
city.
Wait to leave, but anyway, I'm just kidding with you. Hey, more coming up next. The Attorney General, Ashley Moody, is going to join us live in the studios. Ed Dean Roger Henderson, 831-0600, email address, ed@wbob.com. The Sachs Media Group is where we're broadcasting live. We'll see you in a couple of moments right here on Talk Radio WBOB.